Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks, yo.
Van life. What's up, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Frankie.
And I'm Alex.
And together we are FNA Van Life.
This is a show where every week we bring you news from the nomadic community or interviews with other nomads so you can know what it's really like to live life on the road.
Woo, baby! Welcome back. I'm so glad to be back on the podcast. I feel like, I don't know, even though it happens every week, sometimes I feel like that we're missing it or something.
I think that's just because our lives are really crazy right now. Like, we have so much going on, and it's hard to manage everything.
It is. It's
really
very hard.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this week, is just, like, van life and what that looks like for us with the baby and, like, what's going on with the RV with the baby. Like, babies make things a lot harder.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, right after we had the baby, we were having a conversation with my sister. And I guess before we had the baby, you had said to my sister, like, oh, I'm going to have a lot more free time once the baby comes.
I don't remember saying that. Like, maybe I was just in a blur. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Like, everything was just kind of like fizzy, scratchy in my mind. Because yeah. I was like, it was coming up, you know?
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's so hard. Alex being 9 months pregnant, you know?
What I thought is that we would have more hands.
What do you mean?
Like, in other words, before you were pregnant, you know, we would do most of the stuff together and like you wouldn't have a hard time doing anything, or like we couldn't have you around certain things because you were pregnant, you know?
Right. And but now it's almost even worse because like, yeah, I have my hands back, but my hands are almost always holding a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I mean, is I think I kind of thought we were going to have more opportunity to get things done because it's like the two of us again and the baby's there, but then the baby's normally sleeping. It's like what my thought I think was, but obviously the baby is not sleeping, you know, in the sense of every time we're working.
Well,
like,
and a lot of the time working, you're trying to just get the baby to sleep.
Yeah,
so half the nap is getting the baby to sleep, and then you finally get them to sleep, and then you're like, okay, I can do something, and then you get like 20 minutes and you're like, god dang it.
I will say, since we started putting her in like the carriage and like having her outside and like walking her around, she's been a lot better in the sense of sleeping, you know, for longer periods
while
of time
working.
While we're working. But, you know, it's also Canada and it's getting colder, and it's like, you know, yeah, we could have her out there bundled up and whatnot. But what if it starts raining? You know, these are the days that it makes it a lot harder for us to get anything done.
Yeah, I think basically any kind of weather day, we're basically pooched because, you know, in and out of the van and the way that we're building, we don't have an enclosed space. So we're at the season where it's basically kind of rainy and gloomy half of the week anyways.
Yeah, I would say like 3/4 of the week, a lot of the time it's gloomy or too cold to like do something that we need to do. Or like, there's always something in our way.
Yeah, but we're coming up on a real deadline here, folks. We are planning to head to Florida in January with Sunny the Sun Raider.
Yeah.
So Sunny is our 1985 Toyota Sun Raider that we purchased back in May.
Yeah.
And we've been renovating ever since. And we are kind of at the point where we are not close to being done.
Yeah.
There's still like a real big list of projects that need to get finished.
Yeah. It's kind of tough too, because it's like we want to be done with it. Like, and then we have other things that happened. And unfortunately, it's like my health this time around.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I hate to complain or like make up any type of excuses of like why I can't get something done. But this time around, like my arms, after doing that last strip around the whole rig, like I don't know what happened, but it like paralyzed my hands and my arms.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this YouTube video we did. It was called like the weirdest project on the like van, something like that.
It's definitely weird.
Yeah. And so there's basically this plastic, hard plastic ring around the entire vehicle. And what it does is there's a shell on the bottom of fiberglass and then a shell on the top of fiberglass. And so what it does is that this ring kind of connects the two of them together. So it connects the top fiberglass shell with the bottom fiberglass shell. And it also acts as like a rain kind of flicking off. So the rain comes down, it hits this guardrail and then plops off. But so it's a metal rail that goes the whole way around with screws in it the whole way around. And then this plastic cover basically to cover all the screws, literally the entire circumference of the vehicle. And so many, like when we got it, the plastic was old and rotted and like basically like flaking apart, like old plastic kind of just like crumbles, right?
Yeah, so as you like touch it with anything, it just like completely cracks and falls apart.
Yeah, so it was pretty easy to take the whole ring off. So that was, you know, happened in a day. We just kind of went around and like it broke off so easily, and then we just swept off the ground.
That was the easy job.
That the demo is always the easy job.
Of course.
Yeah. So then we're like, okay, we need to get this thing back on. We bought the correct piece of plastic to put back into it. The Sunrider forums are actually great for that. I'm pretty sure Facebook has forums for every single vehicle that you could possibly think of.
I do wish we would like read deeper into like what tool we might need to use like for that strip as well, not just the material that we needed, because I'll tell you what, there's probably a tool that would change your life when it comes to that.
Yeah, so we did not have this mythical life-changing tool.
Yeah.
So we just had the strip, and so basically Frank went around the entire vehicle with the screwdriver. Is that what it's called?
It was like a screwdriver. Wrench? It was kind of...
What's the tool called? A drill.
Yeah, I went around with a drill. Well, I went around with a drill taking out all the screws that we could possibly get out that were like kind of rusted and janky. And I was putting new ones in place of those. So that way that whole strip has brand new screws for all the ones that we could take out. The ones that we couldn't get out, they're kind of just stuck in there at this point.
Yeah.
But so I was going around taking out all those and then putting all new screws in and then getting ourselves ready to put in this new strip.
And so between using the drill the whole way around the vehicle, trying to get them out, getting new ones in, and then the small, like, little meticulous detail of pushing this, like, plastic piece in the whole way around.
Yeah.
It's just, like, all these little movements. And so Frank's forearms and, like, arm muscles just, like...
I got some type of, like, trigger point soreness, like, or I don't know if soreness is the right word. I overuse my arms in a particular spot, and to the point where the next day I was getting this numbing feeling in my forearm and like shooting pains at the same time, and it would go numb when I would get those shooting pains. And then the following day, the left arm started doing it as well. So like it was like a delayed reaction for the left side because I don't use my left as much as my right. So I think that's why I had the delayed reaction with it. And it's been 2 weeks now, and today was the first day that I could say that I didn't feel like I was in absolute agony, since the beginning of those pains.
Yeah, which is bananas. So, you know, going back to what we were saying before is that, you know, with Everly being here, our baby, Frank is kind of even more so alone on the build. And so I can help out when I can help out. And if you watch the videos, like basically I can help out while she's sleeping. And then when she's not sleeping, I can't really do a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, between taking her inside to feed her and change her and blah, 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 and do all that.
And when Alex has an opportunity to help me, she does. It's not like she's like not trying to help in any way. And vice versa, too. Like I'll be on the build doing something and Alex will start to get to a point where she's like, please, I need you to tap in. And like if you're a parent, you get this. You understand. And so I tap in and I start taking care of the baby for, you know, half hour to an hour, whatever it is. So that takes away time from that opportunity to be working on that build. And you don't realize how fast time goes when you're working on that rig. You know, it feels like that you have an abundance of time, but then you start realizing, oh, my God, I'm starting to hit this deadline that we did obviously create this deadline, you know. But the deadlines are good so we could get the freaking job done.
Well, and also, like, we have other commitments of reasons that we're going to Florida between family and, like, another business opportunity down there. And then Schoolypalooza in Arizona, we want to do that. So there's a lot of different things going on of why we want to be in Florida in January. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I mean, is the build going to be finished by the time that we're making this drive down there? Or will it be, like... 90% finished, or will it be 70% finished, and then maybe we spend a month in Florida working on it in Florida.
Well, yeah, and so the other thought process on that is when we do go to Florida, we do have my sister there and my brother-in-law, and his brother will most likely be there and has a bunch of tools, so I'd be able to like piggyback off of him and grab some tools from him, and I'm sure that Sean would help us out in that sense. But yeah, it just changes the whole element of the whole thing. And there are several things that we've been fighting with, battling with when it comes to this rig. We sealed all the windows and did everything we could to stop this leak. And then miraculously, there's a leak there again. And so then we...
But then miraculously, there's not a leak there again.
So we resealed the actual window, and we had, luckily, just the right amount of temperature. So 5 degrees Celsius is where you want the temperature to be. And
which is, what is that, like Fahrenheit?
That's like probably about... I would say about almost 30, 38, 41. I think it's 41, okay. Actually. So we needed 41 degrees, and it was exactly 41 degrees when we, you know, put this caulking on and stuff. And luckily it did seal, but I think the first day it was up there, we had rain that night,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that day I went down and I looked, and it was pretty worse. Full of water. It seemed almost worse.
We were like, how did we fix it? And now that it's worse. But then last night,
It downpoured for like 2 days straight.
Yeah. And we're like, oh my God, we're going to get back there and the van's just going to be a disaster. Because we also went away this week for a couple of days.
Yeah.
We booked a remote cabin in the woods. We thought it'd be really cool to like, hey, just have like a little getaway as like new parents. We've been slogging away. And like, obviously we took the baby and, you know, but just a change of scenery, get back out in nature.
But I pull up on the van, you know, we'll go over why we did, you know, the camp setup that we did to get away. But when I got back to the camper van, I looked down and the whole area is basically dry. Like there's almost no moisture in there. And the moisture that could have possibly been there could have came from like the door or something so simple. And like, we just kind of expected there to be a huge puddle. So like, wow, I guess it's fixed, you know?
I don't, it's just so strange. But I mean, hopefully it's fixed because then we can move on to do the kitchen and like actually build some things. Mm. And because realistically, all we have left to do is build out the kitchen.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got to put in the couple of lights that we have missing right now that are just wires.
Yeah.
We need to redo the flooring, sanding, painting, things like that, which almost might be better to do in Florida.
Yeah.
Because the temperature is so low here. I'm not sure if the paint will actually set properly if you're not in like a controlled environment.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it would probably be better to do it in Florida in the winter, because also on top of that, it's not the rainy season there. So the humidity is kind of tolerable at that point, you know, so it might be like the perfect timing to do that there. And we could always like drag a dehumidifier inside, you know.
Yeah.
Like there is, I think as we're having this conversation, we're realizing that we're still going to get everything that we could get done here, but there are certain things that we're most likely going to have to get done in Florida.
Yeah. Like maybe we get like most of all of the carpentry done, and then have everything sanded and ready to paint, and then get down there and actually paint it.
Yeah. That might be a really good plan, actually.
I don't know. Yeah. Now we're just like, you know, figuring it out as we go, obviously.
It kind of feels like we're pushing the timeline, but at the same time, it's going to have to sell when it's there anyway. So if we could put the finishing touches on it when we're there,
and then
we
don't have perfectly to worry pristine.
About, we don't have to worry about dinging it on the way with all like the baby stuff,
right.
And, you know, all that. So it will be a fun experience to get an opportunity to live out of it with the baby.
Yeah.
And actually, that's what kind of this last weekend was about for Alex and I.
Yeah, so being able to get away with Everly and see what that kind of looks like, feels like. You know, we've been doing house life since she's been born.
Oh, man. I love house life, but also at the same time, I can't wait to get away from it.
It was just really nice to, like, both of us really like living in tiny spaces is what we're realizing.
Yeah.
And so we were in this tiny little cabin, and it was just so nice to be, like, cozy and tight, like close to each other, like we're right there, kind of have everything that you need right at your fingertips. You don't have to, like, you know, sometimes I'll be in the basement and I'm like, oh my, like I'm trying to rock the baby to sleep or something, and then I like need something, but then like I can't reach my phone and I can't do that, and then Frank's on the other side of the house and I can't like yell because
everything's so damn far,
and even if I did yell, like he probably wouldn't even hear me, but then I would wake the baby up, and you know, so it's like, oh my God, you know. So I don't know, I just really like the tiny living. It was really nice to be in nature, like to go for a walk in the forest and like be intentional, have like a nice campfire.
One thing I thought that would be harder when we were away in that 2 days was like when we're in a tiny space, you know, the crying of the baby, Right.
Speaking of which,
the crying of the baby, I thought would be like kind of unbearable or hard. And I realized that it was super easy. Like, it didn't feel so bad. Hold on. Give us 1 second. Let's go check on the baby. We'll be right back. And we're back about 15 minutes later. That one was actually a quick one for us getting her back down. And yeah, going back to the cabin. Sorry for the interruption, but that's just how babies are. So sorry, not sorry, I guess.
I think that's just our lives right now. Like, we go to work on the van. We need to hang out with the baby. We go to work on the vlog. We need to hang out with the baby. Not complaining at all, but it's just, I think most people at 2 months postpartum are like not working.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to do all the things that we were doing before, like posting on social media, doing the podcast, putting out a video every week.
And on top, I feel like we're adding stuff. You know, there's so many other things that have been added. You know, like me, I've been refereeing, you know, which is something that was not on our list of things that was going on previously.
Mm-hmm. And then we're also helping my sister with her basement.
Yeah.
So renovating her basement for her. And then the van build. Yep. And then also we've taken on potentially a bus build.
Yeah.
So we are...
We're just stacking the plate, you know? Like right now we have a towering cake or something in front of us that we have to try to devour and break down little by little. But if you eat it too fast, you know what happens? You get a tummy ache. You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to avoid that tummy ache and try to just get things done as we're going. But let's go back to that cabin. Like, how did you feel in the small space with our baby? And what did it bring, like, realizations of for you?
Honestly, I felt easy. Like, I don't feel like we were... It wasn't, like, more stressful being in the small space with her. It was almost like... I don't know. It felt like maybe she was in a good mood also because of the fresh air and, you know, whatever. But she was pretty easy and manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last night, for example, we were back in the house... And she was just, like, it took, like, an hour plus for her to go to bed. She was just, like, having a time.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the, like, 3 nights that we were away, she went to bed pretty easy every night.
Yeah, she knocked out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And maybe it is the traveling aspect to it. It is, you know, not only tiring for her, but tiring for us, you know. And she sleeps really great in the car when we're driving, too. So,
which, like, is very lucky.
Which I think helps us, again, on top of, like, the nighttime sleeping. You know, the way that we follow, like, this 90-minute, you know, cycle to try to get her to sleep every 90 minutes. And if she does sleep, it normally tends to reward us with more sleep at night. You know, if she sleeps more during the day, we're good for the night.
And I find that when we're in the house and when we're not, like, going out, like, say we have a full day at home, she'll nap for maybe, like, 20 minutes, like, 15, 20 minutes. Like, I'll spend basically 20 minutes trying to get her to fall asleep, and then she'll maybe sleep for another 15, 20 minutes, and then she's awake again. Whereas, like, when we were on doing these drives or going for walks or, like, doing other things, she'll knock out for, like, 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, maybe because she was, like, created in this lifestyle, you know, of traveling and movement and all these different things and fresh air. Like, we were always outside.
Well, and even, like, the entire, like, pregnancy, we were driving a ton.
We were driving a ton. You were night snorkeling. We were out on boats. We were, you know what I mean? Like, we were doing so many different things during your pregnancy. It wasn't like we were just, you know, sitting around and doing nothing. We were going on adventure during that time.
Yeah, so maybe when we're sitting around doing nothing, she gets antsy and wants to, you know, doesn't get tired as much as she does when we're, like, doing stuff.
Well, even for instance, like today, she, you know, I would say around noon, she was kind of fussy. It was getting really close to that time where she needed to get back to sleep. Otherwise, she would be a fuss ball. And we decided to go for a walk. And that walk, the moment we got outside and the moment Alex took about 4 steps away from the property, she was out cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just goes to show for us, our baby loves the fresh air, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited. I mean, obviously, when we get into the, like, doing a nice little cabin weekend was nice, but, you know, it's not the same as, like, living in a vehicle. So I think that the next big test, you know, we've done an overnight successfully, multiple overnight, you know, like, 2 or 3 nights away successfully.
Yeah.
And so I think the next big test will be the road trip from Toronto to Florida.
Yeah, one thing I know that will change for sure during that would be like the amount of driving that we get to do in a single turn, and you know how many times we might have to stop for you to be able to feed her or us to change her.
Yeah, like, you know, we have a bad habit when we're road tripping, especially when we know we want to be somewhere, we can just like go and we'll like drive for like 10 or 12 hours in a day. Yeah, which normally, I don't think will be possible.
Normally we try not to do that so much.
No,
normally
but I mean, it's like happened.
Four, but yeah, definitely. I think with the baby, we might get four like good hours of driving in.
Right.
You know, so the trip down to Florida is probably going to take us 2 weeks.
I know, which is crazy, right? Yeah. So like, I, you know, obviously we're going to take a stop in New York and see your brother and his family.
But still, even that is 8 hours away.
Yeah, so that might take 2 days to get to New York, which is crazy. Or we just like bite the bullet and start driving at like 9 p.m. when we know she's going to sleep for, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you know, you kind of have to like plan your drives and your day around the kid now instead of just, okay, when do we want to leave?
Yeah. The one thing that makes me a little bit worried about that is like we'll be driving through upstate New York and like Canada, Wilderness Canada, you know, so I worry more about like the animals running across the street at that
point. Like obviously it's always safer to drive during the day. Yeah. But like what worries me about it is that like just the packing of everything and like having everything in the car and like it's, we'll probably spend like 2 or 3 days packing the car before we even leave. Mm-hmm. And then the morning of, like, to get out of the house just a couple days ago, it took like until 2 p.m. to be able to leave the house.
Yeah, but we for sure overpacked, one. And two, I would say the difference is we would be putting stuff into the rig to, like, live out of it. So I think the things that would just be a little bit in the way would be, like, maybe the bassinet or, you know,
right,
like,
but
certain
like, did
things.
We actually overpack that much? I don't think we did. We used every single thing that we brought. Every single piece of clothing she wore. By the time we were coming home, we were putting her in the least dirty of her clothes.
I don't think we overpacked for her. I think we overpacked for us.
But it's like 2 or 3 extra clothing items, which isn't really like that crazy.
Yeah.
But like all the kitchen stuff that I brought, we used all of the bedding, we used all of the bassinet, like all of the things that we brought, we used.
Yeah, I would say the difference would be is that our stuff would be in the rig in particular spots already. Like, you know, we would have it packed probably a week before we even leave.
Right.
And we would go, okay, what do we have? You know, it, I think it will be easier because we're not having to set it up, technically speaking. Like, it would already be set up on the way. Like, when we got to that tiny cabin and we had to set everything up, that was probably the most frustrating part of the whole thing, in my opinion, was just, like, figuring out where everything was going to go so that way we could actually use the open space area, you know, properly.
My wheels are starting to turn about, like, how on earth are we going to pack for this trip and pack for a trip within the trip, and how much stuff are we going to bring? And then we want to technically leave the vehicle empty when we're done. So, like, what can we actually bring? Like, if we bring our whole kitchen set up, then we might end up, we're going to put all that stuff on an airplane back to Canada afterwards. Like,
you know,
it just... Like, what are we actually bringing?
Do we just sell that all with the rig and have to buy all new stuff?
Or do we, like, put it all in a bin and leave it at one of your family members' places in Florida?
Yeah, we could.
You know, but then it's like, I don't know, I'm just thinking, like, how much clothes do we bring? And how, you know, do we bring enough for a whole week?
Seven
so that
days.
When we're at Schoolypalooza that we have, you know, everything that we need for that, and then just recycle those clothes for the 2 months?
Yeah,
like,
I would say the one good thing about that is that where we're going in Florida and where we'd be going for schoolie probably have a similar climate in the sense of it being warm. The only difference would be is at night for schoolie it would probably get cold because it's in the desert, right? So you'd have to definitely have, which we would have anyway going down because we're going to be dressed, you know, to be warmer on the way down.
Right, but then we need to pack a suitcase to go from Florida, fly to Arizona.
Yeah.
So then it's not even like we could just have all the stuff in the rig.
Well, technically at that point, I think that we fly back to Florida and then we could figure out what we're going to bring back to Canada with
us. Yeah, I'm fretting about how are we going to even get to Arizona and have all the things that we need in Arizona and then blah, blah, blah. But like, a good piece of advice I heard a long time ago was like, you know, you shouldn't worry too much about packing, because as long as you have your passport and a wallet,
you can buy everything else if you, absolutely have to.
Exactly. Like if you need to run to a store and pick up XYZ, you could always get it.
Yeah.
But you can't replace your IDs and your wallet, you know. But if you've got a credit card, I think, you can get out of all of your problems.
I think the one thing for me that I realized is when we were in the tiny cabin, it felt like we were out more. You know, like even though we were in the tiny cabin quite often, we were like walked around, we were outside, we like were breathing the fresh air. And I feel like in a house, we're not doing that as much, you know, and we do, like, don't get me wrong, it's beautiful here and we do get outside, but it just doesn't feel the same. It feels like that everything is work right now.
Well, I also think, too, because we were mindfully taking the time off of work while we were there.
Yeah.
There wasn't that stress of like... Like, right now, I feel like, personally, anytime that the baby's not awake, I need to be on my computer or on my phone answering emails, answering comments, editing something, you know, working, because there's so much to do, and I feel like I have so limited hours that when I'm not taking care of her, I feel like I need to be doing something else. And if I'm not doing something else, I feel like I'm not being productive.
And then you start to get stressed.
And then I start to get stressed. So unless it's like taking a shower or something like that, which I really enjoy and like definitely helps my mental health for sure.
A bath.
Yeah. It's just like there's my to-do list in my brain is like 1,000 bits long.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I have the time or energy to accomplish it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand that in the sense of the way that you talk about it, because I've been aware of this for quite some time now. For me, I don't think the same. And I know that Alex holds a lot more of the weight on her mind of all the things that have to get done. And I really do appreciate her for it. I am thinking about them things and I am thinking about getting them done. But I also am like noticing the barriers that we have for certain things. And also I want to make sure that we stay mentally healthy rather than just like work. You know, like I want us to be like, I enjoy doing this, and not only do I enjoy doing this, but I want to do this, not I have to do it, you know. And I understand that there's a crossroad there, because there's going to be times where you have to do things, but like I don't want to do things where it gets to the point where I feel like that I'm just not happy. You know, you get what I'm saying? And I know that I love doing what we do. I love making this podcast. I love making the videos. Like, I really do enjoy the process of it and the journey of it. But also at the same time, there's things that just come up that happen that might get in the way of, like, putting out that video. Or it being, like, you know, half a day late. Or whatever it is. And that, it sucks. But we also want it done well. Like, we don't want to rush a project and make it worse for the people.
I think this is probably, like, the biggest source of conflict in our relationship, generally.
Yeah.
Is that I'm like, we have a deadline, and we have to have it done by the deadline. Yeah. Obviously, nobody's knocking at our door. There's no boss, or there's no, you know.
We are the boss. Right? Yeah, we're doing it to ourselves.
Right, or I'm doing it to us, probably, more than anybody. But it's like...
Better you saying it than me.
Yeah, it's like, the video needs to be out by this day. In my mind, because if we don't get this one out, then we're not going to get the next one out. And then the next one is going to be even later. And then blah, 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 blah. And we have commitments to people, like commitments to brands and commitments to other people that we need to get this content out, and deadlines that we've committed to with them.
Yeah.
You know, so then
I would say we always try to stick to that, though. Like that, those are the deadlines where we're not necessarily making those. Like they kind of came up from the brand itself. So we try to stick to those.
We agree to things because, you know, they, especially right now, it's like the holiday season. Everybody wants things. Before Christmas, right? Because they want to be able to sell their products or do whatever or get the brand recognition before the holiday season, and everybody's out of money and blah, 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 and nobody's shopping anymore.
And we understand that.
Yeah. So, like, we're trying to, like, be cognizant and have agreed to things that we might not be able to deliver on.
Well, I think everything we'll be able to deliver on. You know, like, we had to make a trip over the U.S. border to go pick up a product, and that's something we have to deliver on. And we only take on products that we actually believe believe in and we want to, you
know. Or like excited about.
Yeah, like we just got a freaking inflatable hot tub and I'm excited about that thing. We got to get that thing up and running ASAP. I might do that this week. Yeah. But, you know, it's a product that we'll talk real about too. You know, we'll tell you if we like it and how long it takes to get heated. You know, obviously it's an inflatable hot tub, so it probably takes a little bit longer than the like a actual like $7,000 hot tub. Yeah, you know,
but the price is definitely
yeah much different. Yeah, but yeah, I think that you know, Alex and I have these struggles within our business relationship. You know, and the hardest thing for us since we work together, I think, is just remembering that these certain things are business and our love life is separated. You know, like I think we do a pretty good job at it. Like remembering.
They're just so intercommingled.
Yeah, they are. But I do believe, like, at least it seems for me, that like those frustrations don't turn back and make me feel like I'm not in love with her mm-hmm. in any way. Cause
no,
I'm totally
I mean, we're never,
in love
like, actually fighting about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like you do a very good job of, like, reminding me that nothing is that, like, critical.
Yeah, important. I mean, if it was, like, our daughter's health or your health and
sure,
my health.
Sure, but I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, the work
yeah,
stuff, you know?
Yeah,
like,
and that's...
And you're always reminding me to, like, you know, calm down and
go read a book.
Put that away. Yeah. Don't worry about
it. I try to. And I know it frustrates her sometimes when I do that. But I know that it's, like, an opportunity for her to come back to, like, reality and, like, just be present in that moment. Because I know how hard and how rough it can be when you let your mind kind of take control of all the things. And you just get sucked away from the present moment. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I think that's the biggest thing, in my opinion. And half of the things that I'm doing today is so I can be present, you know, like I try to do a lot of things. So I'm here with our family, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm here for us. And I'm when I am doing the build stuff, I try to be present in that moment of the build, you know.
I think that's the difference between men and women, though,
yeah.
Just generally, biologically speaking, mm-hmm. men are like single focus.
Yeah.
Like they're out for the hunt. All they have to worry about is the hunt. Whereas the woman is back at the camp and has to worry about the kids, has to have the head on the swivel in case they're under attack, has to be making, you know, the dinner and the grains and doing this and doing that. And like the woman is like literally constantly got 40 different things that they're thinking about, that they're worried about, that they're checking behind their shoulder. Whereas the man's just like out doing one thing. And that's the one thing.
Well, I think
that's how we evolved by, you know, as humans.
Yeah. And I think we always have to take that into consideration, like, you know, as a couple, as a straight couple, you know, I should
yeah.
say, because, you know, Alex is the female in our relationship and I'm the male in our relationship,
yeah.
you know, and the whole thing is that, like, I know that she takes on those burdens because I physically see her go through it.
Well, that's the whole... Like,
and she tells me.
We were talking about mental load the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think you knew what that was when I said it to you.
I understood what it was, but I didn't understand, like, the way that you thought about it was different than mine in the sense of, like, I have this task I have to do. This is my task, and I'm going to do that task, and that's it. And you're, like, doing 15 other tasks at once. And, like, you know, I don't know if it's just me. It might be just me. I might be aligned with a group of men that think like this,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there could be groups of men that think more like how you think, you know. And
yeah, I wonder if it's, like, type A versus type B.
I'm definitely type B.
I always thought that I was type B.
You are not type B, babe. I love you so much, but you are not type B. Like, let's put it this way. The reason why, or the way our lifestyle happened by traveling on the road was because of Alex, because she put together a fucking spreadsheet of every single dollar that I had to save to be able to do this by myself if I wanted to. I gladly invited her along because it was the most beautiful thing a single soul has ever done for me. And, you know, I was in love with her at that point. And
at that point, not anymore?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, I knew for sure I was in love with you at that point in our relationship. And yes, I still am in love with you. And the thing is that's a type A personality trait. Full on, through and through.
What happened to me? I used to be so cool and chill.
That's always arguable. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know you from before your, you know, executive assistant days.
That's fair. Maybe my old career like kicked it into me.
It might have put that, you know, a type A personality, you know, into you even more. You probably already had it. You know, I think everybody kind of has the opportunity to be a little bit one or the other, or that might be sitting on the fence, and something happens that kicks you into the relaxed, laid back type of, you know, B personality or the type A.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so back to mental load, it's basically like generally one person in the relationship is juggling all the balls in their mind in terms of like, where do we have to be and when do we have to be there and what are we going to eat and where are we going to go and how, who's getting dressed and has the laundry been done and what about the dishwasher and like, oh, like if we don't get that done today, then tomorrow it's going to be raining, so we're not going to be able to do it. And like,
I do got to say, I think a lot more about a lot of those things now, like since we had the baby and like trying to help share the, you know, the workload around the house and, you know, been cooking breakfast every morning. A lot of the time I make lunch, you know, and so a lot of the time I'm doing both breakfast and lunch for us, as well as, you know, making sure the diapers are going in the laundry. And, you know, as noticeable as it is sometimes, it goes unnoticed, you know, and it's okay. Like, I don't care if it goes noticed or not, but then there'll be times where I think that you have done it like maybe two times in a row, and then you start to think like, oh, like I'm the only one doing this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I feel like I've picked up a lot more like trying to help you out and all the different things, you know. That's my thought on it, but obviously you might be
thinking. I'm definitely glad that we share a lot of the load in terms of like the things that need to get done around the house.
Yeah.
I do feel like often I'm the one asking for the thing. Sure. You know what I mean? Like it's not necessarily like a self-led endeavor.
Sometimes it is, but I think that because you're seeing it, you're looking over at it and you go, oh shit, that has to get done. Then you announce it to me. You know, and
dun, 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 dun.
And that's fine. But I probably have thought about it, too. I'm just like, does it have to get done this second? Like, what am I doing right now that is either more important or like, does it have to happen right?
It's usually
second?
Watching a basketball game.
Sure. It could be that. And yeah, sure. Sometimes
I think you're
that.
Better at turning off, too.
I am. I'm great
I'm
at turning
terrible
off.
Terrible at turning
I'm
off.
I'm fucking awesome at turning off. Like, click, goodbye. Back of my mind, buddy.
Yeah. And then I'm like, hey, we still have like 4 hours of work. And he's like, yeah. Just
I'm taking a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny because I could legitimately turn it off. And I think it's probably a coping mechanism, a part of my life.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like the shit that I just kind of went through as a kid growing up and like being able to kind of like stop being there.
Fair.
You know, and enter a whole different realm of thought process in my mind because I'm just like, I'm able to turn it off because of, you know, possibly the traumas that I went through in my life, you know, and maybe that's not a great thing, but also at the same time, I'm seeing it as a benefit right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like the silver lining of something, you know?
Sure.
Like, I think that it's a great thing that I can turn off, but sometimes I think I might default to it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like when things are getting overwhelming, I probably default to it.
Is that why you spend 40 minutes in the bathroom every time?
No, I spend 40 minutes in the bathroom because I have a weird...
Let's not talk about this anymore. People are just going to be like, you have a weird what?
Yeah, we'll stop it. I have a weird... Okay, yeah, let's keep going.
but honestly, I think we're managing pretty well.
Let me just say, coffee definitely has changed my experience in the bathroom.
Okay. Good to know.
Go ahead.
I think we're managing pretty well. Like I said, I feel like most people at this point in their, you know, postpartum journey, like some people, I guess, would be maybe getting ready to go back to work. Like if you worked a regular job in the United States, what do you get? Like 6 weeks,
I think.
Yeah. So
as a male, I don't know about female.
I think it's almost the same.
Probably. I think it's like maybe 2 weeks more. Maybe
yeah. Like
weeks,
you get like 2 months, maybe some companies top you up to 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think at my old job, it would be 3 months.
Okay.
So we would be kind of coming to the end of the maternity leave. But the nice thing about having an actual maternity leave is that for that time, whether it's 3, 2 months or 12 months that you would get in Canada, 12 to 15 months, actually 18, it's like you can extend it a really long time. You don't have to be thinking about working at all.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that you have to be thinking about is taking care of your new baby. And so I think the downside of
running your own business.
And like, I love the freedom that it gives us. Yes. I love the travel that it gives us. I love so many aspects of our life. But if we stop working, we don't get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And if we don't get paid,
we can't pay our bills.
There you go.
And then we go into debt. And Alex and I are very clear about the fact that we never want to be in debt.
Yeah. And so it just, it feels more stressful.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, oh, I'm just getting like my maternity leave paycheck. And like, maybe it is a little bit less than your regular paycheck. And like, maybe there are some like things that you might have to like adjust in your lifestyle to make that work, especially if you want to extend it for like a longer period of time. But you don't have to think about your emails. You don't have to think about your work. Like, it's literally, you're taking that time to singly focus on your family.
I mean, I know people work hard for that, and I think that we work hard enough for that as well, you know, for the, to be able to reap that benefit. But unfortunately, having your own business just doesn't allow that to happen if you haven't paid into some type of fund that has created that for you.
Does that even exist?
Well, I'm sure that you could put away money as a business owner to say, oh, when this comes up in my life, I could pay myself for 6 months.
Yeah, and like maybe if we were like multi-billion business people, or like even just like way...
Even if we were making hundreds of thousands of dollars, you'd be able to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be able to put a fund aside that would cover you for a time period that either you're ill or you have a baby or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would your business go into a complete pause? Most likely.
Like, everybody should have 3 to 6 months, or what is it, like 1 to 3 months of expenses in an emergency fund,
In
case whatever happens.
But that's an emergency fund.
I know, and I don't want to dip into that. Like, technically, we could have turned around and said, okay, we have enough money to float our bills for X amount of months.
Yeah.
Let's just not work and not worry about it.
Sure.
But I don't think that I have that.
You don't
switch.
Have that mental capacity. No, you don't. You don't have that. And that's kind of the funny part about the whole situation. I think that even if you were working a regular 9-to-5, I don't know if you would have been able to turn off the switch and say...
I don't know. What would I do with my days?
You would be very... I don't know.
What are you going to say?
You'd be interesting. Let's say that much. You'd be an interesting person to be around.
I wonder if this is why, like, first-time parents get so, like, anxious and, like, flustered over their kids.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we're generalizing and, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
like, please don't take anything that we're saying to heart or personally or anything like that. We're not trying to insult anybody.
We're
whatever.
Just shooting the shit about ourselves, basically.
Yeah, but, like, if you literally have nothing else going on, that sounds rude. But, like...
If the only thought that you have to worry about is your kid, right?
Then
you don't have to worry about much else. I mean, obviously, like, food, the regular things around your house.
Yeah, but, like...
But no work, no bills have to be worried about being paid.
Do you fret more about the kid?
Yeah, I don't... Probably, because you have nothing else to really, like, zone in on.
Well, and that's why people who, when they have their second kid... are much more lenient parents because now they have the first kid to worry about and the second kid to worry about. So they just don't have the mental capacity to like fret as much about the second kid that they did to fret about the first kid.
Yeah. Alex and I are trying our hardest to make our first kid our second kid. We're wiping off suckers and stuff and just sticking it back in our mouth, you know?
We're like, you're crying, but you're okay.
You're okay.
You're going to be fine.
Things are going to be okay.
You know, like, chill out. They also say, like, calm parents have calm kids.
Yeah.
You know, which, who knows? Some babies are just colicky, and what are you going to do?
But would you have a calm kid then, Alex?
Well, you don't think I'm a calm person?
I mean, the way you reacted, you felt slightly calm.
I think I'm pretty chill.
You are. You are very chill.
For a type A person.
I'm just busting your balls. You are. You are a very chill type A person. Because I've met some other type A people that are just very high strung.
Right.
You know, and like if things don't get done, like the house might blow up.
Yeah.
but like really, you are very chill. You're not like a full on type A, you know, but you are definitely more driven that way.
Yeah.
Like I think like your write up is, you know, these are the tasks. This is the order they get done in. And let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I try to be. I feel like it's really hard to just even, like, keep my brain on straight these days. Like, I feel like
well,
I have so many different things that I'm thinking about. And then I'm like, okay, I have 20 minutes to do 100 things.
Yeah.
Where do I even begin?
You know, it's kind of funny because Even with everything. Even with everything. Sorry, I yawned real quick, getting tired from the whole day. This is very 10 o'clock at night for us. But even with everything going on, we're getting everything done. You know,
ish.
Everything's getting done. It's not about ish, right? It's everything is getting done. You know what I'm saying? Like, the podcast is going out. The videos are going out. We're editing videos. We're getting better at editing videos. We took a course to get better at editing videos, you know, that we're
kind of... That was when we were pregnant.
Yeah, I know. But, like, we're using that advantage now about making the videos. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, sure, there's a lot of other things that we could implement. But, like, once again, time is of the essence. So, mm-hmm. you know...
Sometimes when I put the videos out, like, obviously I like our content and I'm glad, you know, whatever. But it's like, if I had X amount more hours, I would XXX in the video.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't feel like it's the last couple of ones. I'm just like, whatever, it's done. Get it out.
And they've been pretty good. Yeah. They've been pretty good. Like, when I watch them back, I'm like, oh, that was great. But then I'll look back and I'm like, ah, we should have got more B-roll footage of X, Y, and Z.
Sure, you know? Yeah. But I think even our content from like a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, like you could always be improving and you can always get better. And everything is a season in life too. So yeah. Like, you know, if this is a season of just like, okay, we're just, you know, maintaining and like trying to get better every video, but like maybe not making like leaps and bounds,
yeah.
right? Like if we're just, you know, telling a good story and mm-hmm. getting it out and that's what we can manage, then that's what we can manage.
Yeah. And I think that's the full idea of the whole thing is like, let's get what we could get out, you know, try to make a great story for people to entertain them, you know, be ourselves, which I love the fact that we get to be ourselves in our videos. We don't have to be anybody else. You know, we get to laugh together. We get to have mm-hmm. fun together. We get to dance together. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to do all these different things. It's so beautiful that we get to do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that we do get to spend as much time as we get with our daughter, I feel like is insanely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I want to give her this opportunity to like have this life of travel for a little bit, you know, early in her life. Maybe it's something that she grows accustomed to loving
yeah.
and wants to continue. And we continue to give her structure in the sense of parents, and we could give her structure in the sense of a home. That home just happens to move. You know, we could get her structure in the sense of friends, you know. That girl is going to be so loved everywhere she goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like look at all the people that we know today and all the people that are listening and watching and all the people that are Patreons, you know, just supporting our dream and our journey and all the gifts that we've been getting from everybody. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we need to always remember that and take that all into consideration when we're doing stuff. Because mm-hmm. we want to give you guys the best products that we could absolutely give you.
Well, and honestly, that's where a lot of the, like, the drive comes from. Is yeah. that I know that there are people who are counting on us and who mm-hmm. want us to make these things and who want to see what's going on and who yeah. want the updates and who I feel like we're delivering for.
But at the same time, those people that we're delivering for, when we talk to them, we tell them what's going on, you know what they say to us?
Take your time.
We're here. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We're here.
They're like, we love you. We know.
And we love them for yeah. that. You know, we love them for that. We love them for the fact that they enjoy our journey as humans, you know, like... Mm-hmm. And they can relate to us and, you know, and cheer us on. And we're just so thankful for that, you know. Yeah. And that's why I'm always like, let's try to put out the best product that we can. You know,
totally.
Not like, yes, I would love to put out 3 videos a week.
Oh my God, I would not.
But I'm saying, like, if we could deliver content all the time, right. we have the ability to do that.
Right.
I'd love to, but right. we just don't have that capacity, right. you know.
If somebody wants to come and live with us and edit our videos.
And realistically, we're doing that. We're putting out a podcast. We're putting out a video. We're on TikTok and Instagram.
My
and
new thing in my head is that I feel like I have to put out a piece on social media every single day.
Well, and so that's my point.
Yeah.
We're putting out content every freaking day.
Yeah.
Every day,
yeah.
whether it's a story or a post or a TikTok or a Facebook video, old content that we've created that we're making compilation videos for, like all the different things, we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it. It's there for you guys, you know, and we're thankful when you guys watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and we really enjoy it. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, we're super grateful for sure.
Yeah. And so getting back to, you know, the story at hand, I guess, is like I think that we're missing being on the road and meeting you guys on the road and just being out there. So we're looking forward to that opportunity and that day that comes that we can be on the road and we could go down and we could visit everybody and we could see people and we could go to schoolie for the first time, you know. Mm-hmm. Too bad it won't be in the schoolie.
I know.
That'd been dope. Schoolie for the first time in a schoolie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there, though.
I know we will. I'm not
It's interesting because I don't know if we should mention this, but there's been some, like, we've heard some drama around this schoolie palooza that there's, like, two schoolie paloozas, like a real schoolie palooza and a fake schoolie palooza.
I'll just say this much. I'm going to the real schoolie palooza.
But I don't even know what that is.
I know what the real schoolie palooza is. It's the last week of January.
But, like, it seems like all of the promotion and everything is for the other schoolie palooza.
Well, but those are the people that are trying to run the schoolie palooza business as a business rather than as it being a nomadic gathering that just happens.
Yeah, I just wonder if, like, we're gonna miss all the people.
No, I don't think so. And if we do, fuck them.
Yeah, I just
I don't
wondered.
Think we're gonna miss them. You know, especially we'll put out some posts and some things saying we're coming to schoolie and these are the dates we're going there. You know,
I want to find, like, who could we talk to that could actually, like, give us the dirt on this?
I talked to some people that gave me some dirt on it, but that's, you know, not for me to...
No, but I don't necessarily mean the dirt, but I mean, like, I want to talk to somebody, like, the original schoolie people, the original schoolie palooza people.
Yeah.
And I want to have them on the show, and I want to talk to them about, like, what is the event, and why is it so special, and when is
it? Okay, so, I think I have a plan. The plan is to put out some Instagram stories...
And find someone.
And find who the schoolie palooza people are, the original, the OG ones.
Yeah.
And if one person says it's one and one person says the other, right, we're going to have them both on.
Battle it out.
But we're not going to tell them. You know what I'm saying? We're going to bring them on and then, like, video
we'll
chat.
We'll do, like,
video
a compilation
chat.
Episode and, like, put their, like, story right next to each other and, like, fact check.
Dun, dun. You guys ready for the drama?
I'm just interested because...
Am I the drama?
Me?
Me?
No. Yeah, I'm just... I want to make sure that we're actually going to the right event.
Yeah.
And, like, that we're going to be there and there's going to be people there and it's the right one, you know?
The way I look at that is when we show up, whoever's there, it's the right event.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's how we always traveled in the van is that, like, we are where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. And we're meeting the people that we're supposed to meet and we're connecting with the people that we're supposed to connect with. And, like, yeah, we might have missed that and their other, you know, who were here. But whatever. Sure. You know, like, we're here to connect with the people that we connect with and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So, with all that being said, you know, we just want to say thank you so much to you guys. We hope that you really enjoyed this episode as well. You know, it's just bear with us. We're doing our best. We're doing our freaking best.
You know, I don't know if we have to apologize.
I'm not, but that was an apology.
No.
I said bear with us.
I know.
You know, I didn't say sorry.
Yeah.
Just bear with us. You know, we're here to drop the content for you guys. I know you're here to listen. We love you guys and we're so thankful for you all. Mm-hmm. You know, the content will keep coming and we get so many awesome, you know, little written things to us, whether it's through Patreon, people coming to Patreon, or it's through like Instagram DM of people just saying how we inspired them, how they found our podcast, how they're so thankful for it. And, you know, it's mind blowing. It's honestly mind blowing. And I love that. You know, I love seeing those messages. So if you're one of those people, feel free to reach out to us, whether it's on Instagram, become a Patreon, on YouTube, whatever it is. Just let us know where you found us. Let us know that you found the podcast and that you started watching other content of ours via the podcast.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the podcast fam is, like, really legit too.
Hella strong.
You know, like, these are the people who, like, really, like, obviously, you know, we have the YouTube content and that's, like, 20 minutes a week, you know, kind of. But, like, the podcast people are, like, we're, like, really getting to know each other. I feel like these are, like, the deep cuts. These are the conversations that are, like, you're actually getting to, like, hang out with us and get to know us. Obviously, you get that on the YouTube as well.
For sure.
Like, the YouTube is a very highly edited, you know, not super highly edited, but, like, it's, you know, it's trying to tell a specific story and it's cutting to tell that story.
Yeah.
Whereas
we could talk more about those little bits and pieces in between on the podcast that, like, you might have missed in the video,
right.
You know, and I love that, you know, for this group of people that has been created within the FNA Van Life podcast, and we're so thankful for that. And I agree that like this is like the people that really know us like deeply,
yeah,
or getting to know us deeply.
Yeah,
we have so much more to tell you about ourselves in general, and we have just life happening in front of us every single day, and you're gonna get the firsthand experience of that with us, you know.
Here on the pod.
Yeah, here on the FNA Van Life podcast.
Yeah. So if you do love the show, be sure to drop a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Yep. It really helps the show grow and find new people. And it's definitely growing. I mean, we've got, you know, more listeners every week, and we're super grateful for that, because this podcast has always been a real passion project.
Yeah.
This is like not a major stream of income for us.
No, we do it for fun. And also I would say, if you really like it and you think a friend would like it, please share it out to your friend. You know, like maybe we help grow this community together, and then you have another thing to talk about with your buddy.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah, with all that being said, we appreciate you guys. We love you all, and we hope you have an FNA day.
Hey, everybody knows it's true. Van Life YouTube channel, what they do. Everybody's got to get money. Everybody's about to get money. Make sure you subscribe to their YouTube channel, FNA Van Life. Holla at.